Hi, this is Todd Gleason. Before we get started with the closing market report today, I'm hopeful you'll dial this number. It's 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Or you can visit this website, willpledge.org. In either case, please make a financial contribution to this radio station for bringing you agricultural programming 6 days a week, with the pre-opening and opening market reports, updates during the day, the closing market report, and commodity week on Saturday. No other radio station makes the kind of commitment to commodity markets that WILL AM 580, its public radio, does. And if this makes a difference in the way you deal with customers, if you're an agriculturalist and an agricultural business, or if you happen to be a farmer and it makes a difference in your bottom line, then maybe, just maybe, it's time for you to help us out just a bit. You know, we are public radio, and part of our funding comes from contributors just like you. So right now, I'd like you to do this. Dial that number, 217-244-9455, or visit the website at willpledge.org and make a financial contribution. Dave Dickey and I think that $120 is a great place to start. Less is fine, more is better, but a contribution nonetheless is important. 217-244-9455. We're here 6 days a week for you on the air, and anytime you'd like on the website for you to get good commodity information. And it's all, for the most part, free of charge. But we would like you from time to time to help us out. Now's one of those times. Dial the number, 217-244-9455, or visit the website at willpledge.org. And thank you. From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of April, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, as promised yesterday, we'll hear from U of I Extension's agronomist Emerson Nafziger. We'll have some thoughts on when to plant corn and under what conditions, and just how quickly planting delays show up in bushels lost. It's a whole lot sooner than it used to be. And we'll ask you to dial this number, 217-333-9455, or visit this website, willpledge.org, and make a contribution in support of this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It's all because the Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at $5.24¾, 9.5 cents higher on the afternoon. July futures, the harvest month, at $5.36½, up 9½, and September up a dime at $5.64. December futures, $5.86¼, 9½ cents higher for the day. May futures in the corn pit at $3.85¾, up a penny and a quarter. July, $3.95¼, up 1¼, and September corn, $4.05, 1¼ higher. December, the new crop at $4.16¾, a penny and a half higher, and the March corn futures at $4.29, up 1¾ for the day. May soybean futures, $10.58½, up 23½. July up 19, $10.50½, and the August contract at $10.21½, up 13. September beans, $9.82, a settlement price there, up 9½¢. November contract, that's the harvest month, 3 cents higher, $9.43. May bean meal for the day at $3.29.40, up 12.10. Bean meal at $3.22.60, up 9.50. May oil now, $36.75, down 20. July oil down 20 at $37.05. April live cattle, $88.55. Up $1.12½, and June futures at 85, 12½, 35 cents higher. April feeder cattle's 98.82½, down 75 cents. The May contract 75 lower at 99.17½, and the May lean hog futures 71.87½, 47.5 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil futures, a settlement price at $49.98 a barrel, 73 cents higher. May ethanol at $1.57 3/10, a penny and 6/10 higher. Natural gas lead option at $3.60, down 9 3/10. The RBOB gasoline at $1.47 4, that's 2 7/10 higher. Heating oil, diesel fuel, at $1.42 1/10, 2 cents higher on the afternoon. And the propane futures, just about even for the day at 64 9/10 cents. Gold futures at $879.30 an ounce, down $13.50. The Dow at 81.28 is just about 99 points higher. And the U.S. dollar at 85.21 is up 0.25. Hey, have you dialed this number yet? 217-244-9455. That's 217, Big Will. If not, please dial it now. And if you're listening online live, as off the website or as a podcast, you can visit willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. You might see up in the right-hand corner, I think, at this point on the webpage, something that says Power Will with a little light bulb there. Hit that, and it'll take you to willpledge.org. Either dial in 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org and make your contribution today in order to help the agricultural programming out here at WILL. If it's important to you, makes a difference in the way you market, then now is the time to make that contribution. We'd like you to start at $120. If you can't do that, any amount will do. More is great, less is fine, but just dial the number, 217-244-9455. Cash is king, but we'll take your credit cards too.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension. Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, is with us this afternoon. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, an interesting day in Chicago. I kind of like the action in the bean pit. Nearbys were up, but a lot more than the deferreds were. What happened there?
Well, we've got China continues to be a big buyer of soybeans. We had a good weekly export sales number here that was done last week, right up against 30 million bushels. It's believed that they've taken several cargoes this week, so next week's export sales number is going to be another good one. We're tightening up old crop inventories here in the U.S., and China did not only just buy from the U.S., they did buy some beans out of South America, too. So that appetite for soybeans from China is the key force here in the old crop soybeans. Now, it is lifting the new crop along with it to some extent, but the trade's looking ahead and thinking that, USDA soybean estimate is probably acres estimate they gave us here a couple weeks ago is likely to grow, especially given the price strength that we're seeing here in the marketplace over the past 2-3 weeks.
When you look at the charts, both the harvest month and the lead option, there's an awfully nice march higher here. Do you have some upside objectives that you'd like to meet?
Well, there are some. You got to be a little careful. Like I was mentioning to Dave earlier this morning, is we've got our RSI level. I watch a 9-day RSI. I've been watching that for years. We're up here about 82 here today. The last time we were up in the 80s was back in early January when we topped out our high there at 1046 on the spot month. So we are up at some levels here that could get a little nerve-wracking, and we could probably pick up some volatility. But when you look at raw price data, it's pretty strong to the upside. The target levels that if I was going to give you some targets, I'm looking at about 1087 on the May bean, and then another one about 1093, And, of course, I think about 11:15 would be something like a 38% retracement of the big decline that we had in the last half of last year. And those are probably points that if we do get up into those areas are probably going to offer some pretty good resistance, especially with the market as overbought as it is.
And the RSI, of course, is one indicator of the overbought situation in the marketplace. What would be a downside objective for you?
Well, my guess would be that this mid-90s would be pretty good support on any kind of correction. I'm just looking at the May being here was somewhere around 595, you know, give or take 10 cents. That's probably going to be some pretty good support. If we would start breaking down below that, that would not be a good sign, at least from a short-term technical perspective. But that would, I think, is going to probably offer some pretty good support on any kind of, you know, corrective move here to kind of work off some of these overbought technical conditions.
If you look further out through the 09-10 marketing year, what do you forecast?
Well, there's some, depending upon which cycles you look at, one could probably argue that we got to be awful careful here for a spring high or early growing season high. Then we could maybe have a middle summer setback, and then maybe we could have a recovery back again by fall. So I guess I'm kind of in the camp that I would be kind of watchful still for, you know, the market to make important high points here during this early part of the growing season, Todd.
Would the summer setback correspond with a whole lot of corn coming onto the market in late June and July?
Well, that depends upon the corn coming to town is just one factor. I mean, but if you're in an all-out weather market, well, then that corn coming to town would not be much of a negative influence. There's a lot of things, and I don't think it necessarily has to be ag-related. As we know, the market is very sensitive to currency changes, very sensitive to outside market activities. So it would not necessarily have to tie in with an ag fundamentals to see some weakness in the middle of the summer.
You know, most of our analysts have gotten to the point where they're fairly, well, they're certainly neutral and maybe bearish the marketplace at this time. Are you willing to be opposite of that?
I'm not real super bearish. I guess it depends upon which way you want to look at the market. If I was strictly a trader and was just looking at price trend and trading the market, I would have my bullish cap on. I mean, there's nothing here that tells you that you shouldn't do anything but buy weakness. If you put a market advisory cap on, market advisory type, where you're looking at protecting farmers' downside risk, they're going to be in the camp that's going to be looking for a place to put some downside price protection on, or you know, sell the market, and that's why market advisory types have a strong tendency to get short way too soon. Way in advance, because they're looking at it not necessarily from an upside potential point of view. They're looking at it from a rate of return or profit type locking in from the farmer's point of view. So you have, it depends on how you look at the market, but from a technical perspective and from a trader point of view, all the lights are green to probe the long side. But you got to keep in mind from a technical, from a trader point of view, they can turn on you just like a weatherman can turn on you and go short. And remember, a trader doesn't care which direction the market goes. He's just as long as he's on board.
Dan, thanks much.
Very well.
Hey, Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us each and every Thursday right here on the Closing Market Report. If you haven't dialed this number yet, get started. It's 217-244-9455. Our web address to make a pledge of support to this radio station and in particular to this program, the Closing Market Report, is willpledge.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Okay, here's another website I'd like you to visit. It's willag.org. It's not too awfully different than willpledge.org, but on willag you'll find all kinds of agricultural information, including today's program, a pre-opening and opening market report, a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. If you can't get to that, how about dialing this number, 217-333-3434. Don't do that now. We've got a different one for you to dial, but if you do it later, you'll be able to hear part of this program. It's all part of the service of agriculture right here from this publicly funded radio station program. Speaking of publicly funded, General Manager of the WILL radio station, which is our flagship station along with our affiliates, is with us. Mark Leonard is here to take up the idea of what publicly funded means in terms of the closing market report. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for inviting me. Publicly funded means that this is a resource that the community owns. We don't have shareholders. We don't pay dividends. People are not getting wealthy on the services of WILL. It is a nonprofit service of the University of Illinois, and we receive some support from the university, and we receive some from the state and the federal government. But the largest single source right now of the costs of operating WILL are the members of WILL. In fact, that stands at about 36% of our operating revenue at this point. So periodically throughout the year, we take a few moments away from our regular programming and ask you, the user of the service, to pitch in your fair share. And that is what membership support is all about. This is a very specific audience for our agricultural programming. We know the audience very well. We talk to them very actively throughout the year at the Outlook meetings that we host. You know us, we know you, and hopefully you are seeing yourself as part of the WILL family, one of the components that makes up the supporters of WILL. Think for a moment about how you may not be able to find this kind of content, this kind of information that is essential to your livelihood anywhere else. Is this a convenient way of finding it? Is it an unbiased way of finding it? Is it comprehensive and detailed? Isn't that worth the price of a membership contribution? Or if you want to think of it as a subscription, you can do that also. You're buying a year's worth of information when you call 244-9455.
Mark, thanks much. We appreciate you being with us. The general manager of our flagship station, WILL, which is located on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, is Mark Leonard. He's with us this afternoon during the closing market report. If you're listening to us on WILL or WKEI, WGFA, WHOW, WTIM, any of those stations, be aware that this is a publicly funded program, and we do want you to participate and help us pay for it. If you get that opportunity, which is right now, please do. You can dial in at 217-244-WILL or visit willpledge.org and make a contribution. Now, the Director of Ag Programming at the flagship station, Dave Dickey, and I would appreciate it if you made that contribution at the $120 level. We think that's an important level to start at, but less is fine, more is great. Whatever you do, we certainly would like you to visit willpledge.org or to call the number 217-244-9455. Cash is king. We do accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. But right now is the time to do it. We have a challenge with many of the folks that you hear on the air here, and we're looking for 100 callers to join us over the next 2 days right here on WILL. If they do, they'll add $1,000 to the till. AgriGold, the Andersons, Bates Commodities, and Risk Management Commodities, all folks that you hear on our air have decided, hey, it's worthwhile. And if we get 100 of you to dial into that number at 217-244-9455, they'll belly up with an extra $1,000 for us. Thanks for listening. This is the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. In a moment, an excerpt, actually the raw excerpt, from an interview with Merson Nafziger. We'll talk a little bit about the late planting season. He's an agronomist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Your name and your title first, please, Emerson.
Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist, University of Illinois.
In the April 10th edition of the Bulletin online at ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin, you authored an article titled Corn Planting Date Revisited, and you used 4 years' worth of data. Tell me about it.
We started this study to update what we had done almost 20 years ago now, and these aren't very easy or fun studies to do, but we established different corn planting dates at 6 locations in Illinois at all of our research centers, and we tried to stretch dates from as early as we could plant in April to basically the end of May, and we've done that now for the last 4 years. Within each of those planting dates, then we established different plant populations so that we could have an idea, first of all, how to make replant decisions. In order to make replant decisions, you have to know what the early planted stand will produce, and then you have to know what it might produce if you have a later planted stand at a higher population. And knowing that difference is pretty critical to knowing whether or not it will pay to replant. But back to planting date for 2009, one of the things we found over these last 4 years that the last year, 2008, was so unusual that we actually had to make a decision whether to use that data in terms of bettering our prediction of what will happen when we plant late, say, in 2009. That's kind of a difficult thing because 2008 sort of went against everything that we thought, at least not that we thought could happen, but that we thought would happen. And in 2008, we had one location in southern Illinois where the later we planted, the higher the yield was, right up into early June. Well, that's not something that's on the books very often. And so the whole idea here is to get a good prediction, and you have to decide whether you're going to include data like that or not. So we tried to finesse that a little bit and included our location in western Illinois in the central Illinois zone that also had a fairly flat response to planting date in 2008. It yielded about 200 planted the first week of April and about 200 planted the last week of May. And so these are the kinds of things that, you know, just tell us what the possibilities are. And when it comes to 2009, I guess about all we can say is that 2008 was very likely a fluke, that planting late in 2009 is more likely to reduce yields than it is to increase yields, and we'll go proceeding on that basis. So what do the data that we're willing to accept then and put into the average, what do they tell us? Well, northern and southern Illinois had a very uniform response to planting delays. Central Illinois, because of the reasons I mentioned with sort of an odd year last year, got skewed a little, so the late planting doesn't look quite as damaging in central Illinois as in northern and southern Illinois. But in a general sense, the last 10 days of April, we lose about a half bushel per day. The first 10 days of May, we lose about a bushel per day. The second 10 days in May, we lose about a bushel and a half per day. And for the last 10 days of May, we lose about 2 bushels per day, just as an average of what we've seen in the past. Those numbers are a little bit different than the older numbers we had, simply because our yields are at so much higher level. Our average yield for these 4 years in northern Illinois with the higher populations has been well over 200 bushels per acre. I think we've worked ourselves into a state of believing that anything planted after May 1 is, you know, really destined for some low yields or that the yields can't be high. Last year told us that yields can be high if planted after May 1. More than half of our corn was, and we still had high yields. We're still in the middle of April. We're still in a favorable time to plant. In fact, we're just entering the most favorable time to plant, which is second, third weeks of April. And in the last week of April isn't too bad either. So we're just getting into that now, and at this point, it's not a good idea to try to mud corn in.
Thanks, Emerson.
Yep.
Emerson Napsiger?
Yep.
Emerson Napsiger is an extension agronomist at the University of Illinois.
It's good to be here, Todd.
Oh, thanks. Now I got to go back and say that again. I will do it later. Oh, man. Well, I left that in purposely because we try not to take ourselves too seriously. And frankly, Emerson is so pointed most of the time when he's talking that most people don't get that he's very funny. And Emerson, if you catch him in the right moment, is just really funny. And he happened to do that to me as we recorded yesterday afternoon. For those of you who don't know, that's just an excerpt of a much longer interview, about 5 minutes, actually, of a 13-minute interview I did with Emerson. You'll hear some more of that probably in the next week here on the Closing Market Report. If you happen to subscribe to our weekend newsletter, you got the whole thing last night in your email. Because we sent it to you. That newsletter is free. You can hit willag.org and sign up for it over on the right-hand side of the page and just subscribe. Right now, I'd like you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, and become a subscriber here to this Closing Market Report with a financial contribution. I'll be back in 2 minutes with the weather.
It's National Lemon Meringue Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1794, Ellis Fries was born. A Swedish botanist, he developed the first system for classifying fungi. In 1796, John Torrey was born. An American botanist, Torrey did extensive studies of North American flora. He was the first professional botanist in the New World. In 1835, C.H. Farham was issued a patent for a hand-cranked rotary washing machine. In 1911, Crisco was introduced by Procter & Gamble. Crisco is a hydrogenated shortening made from vegetable oil. The new process produces shortening that stays in solid form year-round, regardless of temperature. The first advertising campaign trumpeted the all-vegetable shortening as a healthier alternative to cooking with animal fats and more economical than butter. And in 1914, the Panama Canal was officially opened when a ship sailed from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean. The canal crosses a small mountain range with a series of huge locks. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason, joining us now actually in studio for just a quick update of what's been happening right here as we are in the middle of a little bit of a fun drive to raise money for the Closing Market Report and other ag programming at the public radio station that brings you the CMR. Is Dave Dickey, he's Director of Ag Programming. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, Todd. We stand at $51,155. That puts us a quarter of the way to our $200,000 goal for this particular pledge period, and we've received thus far 8 phone calls in support of WILO Agriculture. We have a challenge underway, 100 calls during the drive, and AgriGold Hybrids, the Andersons, Bates Commodities, and Risk Management Commodities will chip in $1,000, Todd.
Oh, boy, we need to get those phones ringing, so if you haven't dialed this number, do it yet. Do it now, actually. 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455, and pledge your financial support right now for the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather. Pete Levitt is with us today. Beautiful day here in the Midwest, Pete.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd. It is a beautiful day, and I think we're going to have another day and a half of this. Tomorrow looks equally pleasant, a little breezy perhaps, but that's not a problem. At least it'll be sunny and dry. Temperatures getting up into the low 70s in much of the region, upper 60s to low 70s. And then things start to deteriorate Saturday and Sunday. Saturday will be cloudy. I think the weather system that's moving slowly eastward from the Rocky Mountain states will hold off until late Saturday or Saturday night as far as precipitation is concerned. So Saturday night, Sunday looks like sort of a dismal day, but that'll be short-lived. The system will go on through, start to clear out Monday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will be fair. Temperatures above normal early on, then turning colder as the cold front goes by late Sunday and Monday, and temperatures drop. Today being the third Thursday of the month, we have the extended range forecast from the National Weather Service put out just today. And that looks at the month of May. And the forecasts are for a change. We do have a forecast for parts of the Midwest with this system this time. It has cool temperatures in the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Iowa, and elsewhere in the Midwest, just equal chances, meaning fluctuating around the normals. It'll be warm in the southwestern states and a little cool in the Pacific Northwest as far as precipitation is concerned. A little bit above normal, the eastern Dakotas, western Minnesota, which looks a little like a persistence forecast to me, but that's what they're putting out.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us
today.
My
pleasure.
And that is Pete Leavitt joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. He's one of five weather people that you can hear, five different weather folks, in fact, that you can hear during the Closing Market Report at that time slot. And there's another one earlier in the program. It's all part of bringing you ag programming. If you haven't dialed in with your financial support for this program, please do it now. The number is 217-244-9455. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.